Video is not working.
And we're good to go there. So Derek, go ahead and ring the bell.
Good evening, everyone. Good morning to Catherine in Australia and other people from far reaches of the world. Welcome to the eClub World Peace. And we have a special guest this evening. It's the RI president. And his banner is right behind me, as you can probably see, mounted on my wall. And right now, instead of me carrying on, I'm going to ask Rudy to introduce our special speaker for tonight. Rudy?
Well, thank you very much. And going into this, please, everybody, mute yourselves so we don't step on our Rotary National President tonight. We're very glad to have him from his own home here broadcasting. And as most of us are locked down somewhere in the world here. Kind of the ground rules tonight, instead of people raising their hand and asking questions, if you would put your questions in the chat box, and then I'll work on getting those asked of our RI president here, of Mark, and to answer those questions. That way we are a little more controlled, since we have so many people on with us tonight. And so appreciate that. So we're very, you know, excited and honored to have with us tonight our Rotary National President. He's been a Rotarian for only 40 years this year, and he's broadcasting here from Decatur, Alabama. He and his wife are both lawyers, which ties them in with our the founder of Rotary, Paul Harris, who was a lawyer. So everybody's on good terms here, and they're both lawyers in Blackburn, Maloney, and Schubert LLC. They have two daughters, one goddaughter, and two grandsons. And so it's great that the daughters have had sons. So you got grandsons. So that's, you got a little variety out there. Obviously, Mark has been a club president and a director and a trustee, and worked his way up through. And for any of you here on the call here, he happened to go to Sydney, Australia at the convention. I believe he was a chair of that convention, which was a great convention. We enjoyed being down in Australia. And we're just excited that we have an opportunity for Mark to join us tonight. So please welcome Mark Maloney. Thank you, Mark, for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you, Rudy. Thank you for that introduction. And President Derek, it's great to be with the Rotary eClub for World Peace. I don't have to tell you that these are unusual times. You've figured that out for yourself. But for you, Rotary kind of continuing on in the same way, at least in how you connect with your tradition of having been an e-club. I have never been prouder to be a Rotarian than I am right now, because Rotarians have made the shift. Have made the pivot. Many Rotarians have made the pivot to maintain connection, to continue to serve, even in these challenging times. And, you know, we think of Rotary as an aging organization, but, you know, even with these aging Rotarians, they've figured out how to use Zoom, and they're still connecting with their fellow Rotarians. And, you know, it takes, some clubs made the pivot. They had an in-person meeting one week. The next week, they were meeting virtually. Others, maybe they skipped one meeting while they got organized. My Rotary Club, you know, it's an old fogey club of 91 members. Don't tell them I said that. Not of 91 members, of 91 years, 162 members. And, it took us, we had 3 Mondays off before we got back into the swing of having weekly meetings. But I'm really proud of my club. We're meeting every week, having a great speaker, and it's wonderful to stay connected. One of the things I was asked to speak about was how Rotarians can participate in these times. And, you know, it's amazing how the shift is being made. We have some clubs that just take to it right away. Then other clubs, they're not so sure. I'm told about a Rotary Club in Argentina. Their first virtual meeting, they had 87% attendance. And because one of the newest members had a test run of meetings and connected with all the members to make sure that they knew what to do, and that way they're all comfortable with the technology once the meetings have started. In Peru, you know, there's several small clubs, and 17 of the clubs in District 4455 have gotten together on GoToMeeting, and they have, you know, a complete with an agenda and guest speakers. And this way, they're having the opportunity to expand their connections even more. Some Rotary clubs are reaching out to former members who have moved away to other parts of the country, and they are connecting. They are connecting with these former members, and they're realizing that by having a virtual meeting, they can expand what they can achieve. And one club president in California, when this happened, that club president was ready to resign. But an assistant governor sat down with that president, showed the president how to use Zoom, how easy it was, and now they're having great meetings. Some districts are offering their Zoom platforms to the clubs to make sure that they don't have to spend any money in order to maintain those connections. And so we are seeing how important connections are. I think that many Rotarians, you know, we think we might lose Rotarians, and I understand with the economic situation that that's a possibility, but I think that many Rotarians are realizing what a great connection they have through Rotary, and I believe that this connection will keep them in our organization. Now, last July, when we started using the theme, Rotary Connects the World, I don't think any of us thought that the theme would have the meaning that it has here in the last 3 months of these Rotary years, of this Rotary year. You know, it seems almost like it was some higher power that put the theme Rotary Connects the World, followed by Rotary Opens Opportunities, at this time in our history. Because as we are going into social distancing and staying at home, connection is more important than ever. And Rotary Connects the World is a very meaningful theme. But it also, we also see that even though there is this dark cloud over the world with this coronavirus pandemic, there is a silver lining. You know, supposedly Winston Churchill once said, "Never waste a good crisis." Now, I'm not sure he actually said it, but it's a great quote anyway. And we need to take advantage of the opportunity that this situation presents us to expand our reach to a different demographic, to those individuals who might be attracted to a 30 or 45 minute virtual meeting rather than an hour or an hour and a half in-person dinner meeting. And so I think that we have the opportunity, and Rotary opens opportunities, we have the opportunity to move ahead and attract a new demographic of Rotarians. What can you do? Right now, I think we need to pay attention to three different aspects of our membership. We need to think about engagement, we need to think about service, and we need to think about fundraising. And we need ideas from Rotarians about how to do that in this new environment. And I hope, and here we have a club that has been meeting virtually for quite some time, and I suspect that you have a lot to teach us, to teach Rotarians around the world about how to engage your members, how to perform service through a club format like this, and how to raise to support your projects in a virtual environment. General Secretary John Huko, as you may know, is a member of the Rotary Club of Kyiv in Ukraine. And a couple weeks ago, he participated with Rotarians from Ukraine in a fundraiser that was a virtual beer fest. Now, I don't know, those virtual beers seem like they might be a little tasteless to me, but apparently it was a successful event that raised some money, and at least one Rotarian ended up with a case of beer delivered to his or her home. I'm not exactly sure how a virtual beer fest works, but it seems to me it's an interesting idea. And we need ideas like that to help Rotarians around the world. I was also asked to say something about this Rotary year and our experiences. You know, Gay and I have been so blessed to have the opportunity to visit with Rotarians around the world. Yes, we only were able to do it for 8.5 months instead of the full 12 months, but we also had our president-elect year as well. And I am just constantly impressed with what Rotarians are doing and how they do things so much differently. Rotary in Japan is far different from Rotary in the United States. And Rotary service in many developing countries is far different from Rotary service in developed countries. You know, there are some countries in the world where, in some communities, the social safety net is only that's provided by Rotary. In Guatemala, for example, the city of Sampango has essentially been adopted by one or more Rotary clubs from Guatemala City. And those Rotary clubs are providing water and sanitation in schools. They're providing clean water for those schools. They're providing nutrition projects for young children. They're providing job training opportunities for women without jobs, and they're providing child care centers so that families can work and provide for themselves, and many, many other things. And, you know, the Rotary clubs have a relationship with the city government in this city of Sampango. And you see that also, for example, in India. I remember, this is now 15 years ago, visiting the city of Vapi, which happens to be the home city of past Rotary International President Kalyan Banerjee. And the Rotary Club there built and operates the hospital. I think they operate it through a separate trust. But all across India, there are many small hospitals and clinics that are operated by local Rotary Clubs. In many instances, they're specific hospitals, a blood bank or eye surgery hospitals that meet a specific need, not a general hospital. Yet in Vapi and in some other cities, their main hospital is a Rotary hospital. And so we see a tremendous amount of variety in the Rotary world, but everywhere that we went, we saw great service. And the, you know, at the beginning of March, Gay and I left on the first day of March for what we hoped would be a 30-day trip. We knew that there might be some issues, but we started out by flying to Zimbabwe and participated in a medical mission in the provincial capital of Mutare near the Mozambican border. And then from there, we went to London to participate in Commonwealth Week activities, including the Commonwealth Day service at Westminster. On Wednesday, March the 11th, we spent that afternoon packing, since we had an event that night and an early departure the next morning. We spent that afternoon packing, thinking we were flying to Zurich the next day. Well, while we were at a banquet at the Pakistani embassy that evening, we received emails indicating that we would not be able to go to three countries out of the eight remaining on our itinerary. And by the end of the evening, we had rebooked ourselves to fly back to Chicago the next day. And as they say, we were just one step ahead of the law, because 2 hours after our new tickets were issued, President Trump announced the travel ban from Europe. So we were able to fly home on Thursday, March the 12th, fly to Chicago with no difficulties, no issues like there were 2 days later at O'Hare. But, and while we were disappointed to end our travels, we know that it was the right thing to do. We had to model the correct public health behavior. We couldn't continue flitting around the globe, ignoring the conditions that existed. It is a great disappointment to have to have had to cancel the international convention. The first time in the history of Rotary since conventions began in 1910, the first time that there will not be a Rotary International Convention. So that puts me in a class by myself as the only international president not to have an international convention. That's a kind of a distinction I wish I didn't have, but it is what it is. And you know, Mark Maloney hasn't been picked out. Rotary International has not been picked out. This is a situation in which the entire world, all of humanity, finds itself in the same situation. And hopefully that will enhance the connection between peoples of the world, developing a greater brotherhood or sisterhood among all the peoples of the world as we move forward. So those are some of the comments that I wanted to share. Eric and Rudy, I'd be happy to answer questions.
All right. Thank you very much. I think we've had a question about what have you seen our Rotary clubs, either in the United States or around the world, doing on projects around COVID-19?
Of course, all the projects that I'm hearing about now are COVID-19 related projects. In District 5320 in Southern California, which is mainly Orange County, not too far from you, Rudy.
Right.
May even be your district. I'm not sure. And Governor Mark Ahrens and his team organized two weekends where Rotarians manufactured 30,000 face shields, the clear plastic face shields that go over the masks for use by frontline healthcare workers. And they did that at five locations around Orange County. For example, the hotel ballrooms. The hotel ballrooms weren't being used for anything else. And they put tables in there spaced out well apart. And people and Rotarians made those masks right there. And a lot of attention was garnered. One of the major network television stations in Los Angeles carried a story on it that very the night of the first weekend. the Rotarians in Italy of the 13 Italian districts have joined together to undertake projects to provide hospitals with thermal scanners, triage units, stretchers, and transport equipment for the COVID-19 relief. In Sri Lanka, Rotarians there have connections with the highest levels of the national government, and they are providing, the foundation has awarded a $167,000 global grant to the Sri Lankan Ministry of Health to upgrade the surveillance and testing mechanisms at the Medical Research Institute by equipping and modernizing their virus detection equipment that will be at the forefront of COVID-19 diagnoses. So these are just some of the projects that we have seen, and I'm so proud of what Rotarians are doing.
Oh, super. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. In our district, we've certainly are having folks help with the food banks, feeding the seniors, feeding our students who are on special lunches and need meals, making masks, and supporting in those kind of ways. But it's interesting to hear what other districts are doing out there, and want to stay connected on that so we can help as needed in these areas. There was a question around, obviously you had to cancel a couple of your conferences you're going to have on the UN 75th anniversary. What do you see going into the future, even during and after this, and perhaps with the World Health Organization and UNICEF and some other branches of the UN, that as Rotarians, we need to be more involved in support and use our Rotary connections around the world to help support the United Nations?
Well, first off, with respect to my conferences, as most of you know, or many of you know, I had four principal priorities this year, and one of those priorities was to focus and create awareness of Rotary's relationship with the United Nations over the course of the past 75 years as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the signing of the UN Charter on June 26th. I have to say that the program for the year in UN awareness is pretty much a bust. We did have Rotary UN Day, you know, Rotary Day at the United Nations last November, which is an annual event, but it wasn't even Rotary Day at the United Nations because of the funding crisis that the United Nations finds itself in. Just less than 3 weeks prior to our event, the Secretary General declared that UN headquarters in New York would be closed to outside groups on evenings and weekends. So at the last minute, we hustled and we were able to hold the event, and it was really an enjoyable and successful event at one of the hotels, the Grand Hyatt, in right there at Grand Central Terminal. It, you know, it's interesting now because there was some discussion that, well, Mark, you know, from a really practical standpoint, perhaps we ought to just cancel it. Well, we'd already canceled the UN Presidential Conference in Santiago, Chile, due to the civil strife there. That was canceled in September for an event that was going to be at the end of February. And then, as I mentioned, we were on this trip that started in Zimbabwe and went to London. And at the end of that trip, at the end of last month, we were to conduct the Presidential UN Conference at UNESCO. Well, that was canceled before I even left in the very first days of my travels. And also while we were on that trip, of course, the UN Conference at the Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome was canceled. and the final celebration in connection with the convention in Honolulu. So I think we can scratch that off the list of major achievements for this year, but that's just the way life is. You know, we have a strong relationship with the United Nations. And just at the board meeting last week, the board approved a plan to enhance the Rotary Representative Network. We actually discontinued our representative relationship with several agencies that have not really, that are not really aligned with Rotary's strategic plan and its areas of focus. And we are going to focus more of our attention on the agencies with which we have greater alignment. So there'll be more focus on UN environment and our relationships with the agencies headquartered in New York and Geneva and Rome. And some other smaller offices that had relationship, representative relationships, those are being terminated going forward. We've been very fortunate for the last 2 years to have Director-elect Peter Kyle as the Dean of the Rotary Representative Network. And he has really spent a considerable amount of time carefully analyzing the network and seeing how we can enhance its significance. And for many of you, I think you know that Peter was a senior official of the bank, and therefore he has a good understanding of these international organizations. And Peter will be succeeded, since Peter is going on the board, he cannot continue as the dean. And beginning the 1st of July, past district governor Judith Diamond from the United Kingdom will become the dean of the Rotary Representative Network. And she has been, well, first she's the leader of Rotary's International Advocacy Committee for polio eradication, and she's also been Rotary's representative to the Commonwealth of Nations.
With our polio efforts impacted by COVID-19, we know, I believe, you were able to meet with a leader of Pakistan. We know we still have some cases of control over there, and the military to try to work on enhanced efforts to eradicate polio in Pakistan on those rising cases. But also, how do we use our network, or how are we using our network on the COVID-19 pandemic?
First off, I was actually not the one who went to Pakistan. It was Holger Kanak, the president-elect, and Ravi Ravindran, the incoming trustee chair of the Rotary Foundation. And I think that that meeting was a very successful meeting. Not only did they meet with President Imran Khan, they also met with the chief of the army. And he and Ravi, I actually happened to be visiting with Ravi in Sri Lanka a couple weeks after this meeting happened. And Ravi indicated that, you know, there were three brigadier generals in the room. And as the Rotarians would raise each issue, the chief of the army would say, okay, you're responsible for making sure that that happens. And you are responsible for making sure that that happens. And getting the support and the backing of the army is critical to moving forward with polio eradication. Unfortunately, in this time of social distancing means you can't get close to somebody to give them the drops, the immunization drops. So immunization activities are suspended or on pause for some period of time. We hope to resume that as soon as possible. But the networks, particularly in the three remaining endemic countries of Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria, the networks of labs and surveillance facilities and personnel are there to jump in and assist in the fight against the coronavirus. I'm not sure that I can give you specific examples of what's happening right now with respect to that. But if you go back to the Ebola crisis, it's my understanding, you know, that, you know, Ebola was widespread throughout West Africa. But in Nigeria, they ended up, I believe, with only one case in a country of tens of millions of people. And the reason, one of the principal reasons they were successful in limiting the outbreak of Ebola was because of the network that had been established for polio eradication. And so that network is being put to use, and those personnel that are not out in the field immunizing and supervising immunization activities are now devoted to battling the pandemic.
That's great. No, thank you for that. Obviously, we're the E-Club of World Peace, and peace has been a core principle of Rotary since its beginnings. Where do you see Rotary going on the peace fronts and conflict resolution and peace building into the future?
Well, of course, one of our areas of focus is peace and conflict resolution and prevention. And I think, you know, I've heard many people say that really peace is kind of the overarching purpose of the areas of focus, and that all of the areas of focus support Rotary's peace efforts. I also see us strengthening and expanding our Peace Fellows program. As I'm sure all of you are aware, we now have, or we will soon have, the new Peace Center at Makerere University in Uganda. And bringing Rotary's presence into a part of the world where it's not perhaps, it's perhaps not as visible when you consider the spread of Rotarians over those 50, I think it's 54 countries of Africa. And I don't see Rotary's commitment to peace waning at all in the coming years.
Yeah, super. The I know that additional staff have been added at Rotary International to support the Peace Fellows and the whole overarching peace initiative with Fergal McCarthy kind of the head of that. He's also a member of our club here. He's joined us. As that develops, how do you see that developing, and how do we more involve our Peace Fellows and stay connected with them as Rotarians and bring them into the mix with us?
I'm not sure that I'm the right person to answer that question. Because, you know, most of those peace efforts are under the authority of the Rotary Foundation. And here in these last few years, those sorts of activities are, you know, I've been focusing on the Rotary International side and not so much on the foundation side. I mean, I'm there to be supportive. Fergal comes and sees me to make sure I understand what's going on, but I only understand at the 30,000 foot level. And part of that is because of my, you know, I can't keep track of everything. So in terms of, I know Fergal's been added. I don't know all of the ramifications and the plans for staffing. I'm not in a position to, you know, it's tough for a Rotarian leader, a past district governor, to say, I don't know, but I don't know.
I appreciate that. I resemble that quite often, so thank you. Thank you on that. It's you see in the future as we bring in more and try to involve our Rotaractors and younger Rotarians and bring them together with us, where do you see the future with our youth in Rotary?
Well, I think we're making great strides in becoming more attractive to a younger demographic. The elevation of Rotaract, such that Rotary International is now the association of Rotary clubs and Rotaract clubs, is a very important step. We need to recognize that Rotaractors are our partners, not merely participants in the Rotary International program. And just this morning, I had the opportunity to participate in the Rotaract Training Institute for all of South Asia. And, you know, these are a dynamic group of young leaders. And hopefully, you know, right now we only bring 5% of Rotaractors into Rotary. And hopefully with the changes that are being implemented, we will keep them involved in Rotaract for longer, such that they're ready to transition into Rotary at a later time. And there are many, many people who are so dedicated to youth programs, to RILA, to Youth Exchange, and to Interact. You know, the governor says that I'm muted, but I'm not muted.
Yeah,
anyway,
you're fine.
Somebody is typing or pulsing something. So if you do not mute yourself, you're disrupting the presentation. So please be sure that you're muted.
And I can't remember her name. The governor who just passed away a couple weeks ago in California. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name right.
Yeah, Melanie Rice. She's in our district. She was our
Melanie
district
Rice.
Governor.
Right. Thank you, Melanie Rice. They're 528, and sometimes I have a lapse. But Melanie, you know, her goal was to have 1,000 participants in RILA this year, and she was so dedicated. And there are many Rotarians like that who are so dedicated to young people, and I see that continuing. There is going to be a lull in Youth Exchange. Many, many districts are going to decide to lay out of Youth Exchange in the 2020-2021 Rotary year. With the uncertainty of the pandemic situation, they're not in a position, with the current situation, they're not in a position to solicit candidates. And with the uncertainty, they just can't be assured that they can successfully operate the program. But I know that Youth Exchange will come roaring back once we get past this temporary situation.
I was on a meeting with Holger, who kind of explained that same thing the other night. We probably have some members on this call, as well as some additional ones from the Rotarian Action Group for Peace, that are concerned about the threat of nuclear weapons and Rotary's ability to take a stand on something that may be construed as a political issue. Where do we stand on things that are humanitarian issues that politicians make political? That we can still speak up on as members of society and as humanitarians, that we can still take effect on, that we don't tread on this this area that's a little tricky around political issues?
My rationale for Rotary International not taking a position on nuclear disarmament is not that it's a political issue. It is, in certain circumstances, a political issue, but that's not the reason that I think we should not take a position. The reason that I think we should not take a position is that there are large number of Rotarians on both sides of the issue. And those Rotarians who feel strongly for nuclear disarmament need to work through a rag, through their own Rotary Club, however, but I just do not think it is appropriate for Rotary International to take a position on an issue that is so divisive among its members. And, you know, when it comes to a political issue, I mean, some people would say supporting immunization is a political issue when you consider the anti-vaccination groups. And, but nevertheless, we do take a position in support of immunization. And I think that's appropriate because substantially all Rotarians, I won't say that all, but substantially all Rotarians believe that immunization and vaccination are appropriate.
No, that's good. And, good clarification. And, I appreciate that.
And Fergal and I have had conversations on this. I've made him rewrite letters before to express my viewpoint on it. And not that his viewpoint was incorrect, but that's the rationale. It's not that it's a political issue. And of course, coming back to vaccination, I think there'll be a lot more people after this pandemic who favor vaccination that before were ambivalent or negative to it.
Yeah, I hope you're right to protect us all here. So this is certainly be some good learnings from this opportunity. Got another question down here is, as obviously you're the directives out of RI continue to evolve as the virus is being handled and those kind of things. Where do you see potential recommendations coming for gathering size, spacing of people, those kind of things into conferences 6 months, a year from now? Do you see changes that we're going to have to, that'll impact our district conferences and our meetings?
I think that's quite definitely a possibility. At the board meeting last week, the board took the following decisions. There will be no in-person meeting of the board of directors throughout the rest of 2020. There'll be no in-person meeting of any Rotary International Committee throughout the rest of 2020. District governors are encouraged, strongly encouraged, to make virtual club visits throughout the rest of 2020. Regional leaders are strongly encouraged to conduct their training meetings and other events virtually throughout the rest of 2020. With respect to zone institutes, conveners are strongly encouraged to conduct the institutes virtually, but it is up to the convener to make that decision. So far, I'm aware of two institutes that have been canceled. The in-person meeting has been canceled, and that's the Alice Springs Institute for Australia and New Zealand and the Amsterdam Institute for mainland Europe. And I think in Canada, in zone whatever that is up there, that they were separating the governor-elect and governor-nominee training from the And that training has been, the one that was scheduled for Canada is going to be. We have requested that the General Secretary develop a contingency plan for training governors-elect who will not be able to attend the International Assembly, and also to develop a contingency plan for a virtual International Assembly in case more than 40% of the governors-elect cannot participate. Now, at this point, these are only contingency plans that we've asked for. At this point, the International Assembly is still planned to happen in person in Orlando in February, but we will see. You know, it just depends on the vaccine. In 10 days ago, I participated through Zoom into an in-person live event in Taiwan. And they were in a ballroom, and there were 50, 60, 70 people in this ballroom. Now, most of them were wearing masks, but they weren't separating themselves by 6 feet. And, you know, Taiwan's been very successful. I think the convention, it could still happen in Taipei next June of next year. Most of the attendees may be from Taiwan. Who knows? I'm not one to make a prediction. And of course, my law partner is the chair for the convention committee for that convention. And I know he and President-elect Holger are still planning full speed ahead as if the convention will happen in person. But Rotary is going to be monitoring these situations very closely. One of the most painful decisions I made was to cancel the Honolulu convention. After we returned ahead of schedule from London on the 12th, on Friday the 13th, I actually met with staff at Rotary headquarters, and we discussed how we were going to continue registration and how we were going to delay the date for cancellation. And then that weekend, Gay and I spent the entire weekend in the condo. Couldn't go to Mass. In Chicago already, religious services were suspended. And all day Saturday, I was just scouring the internet to see what I could find out. And the one article the one event that made a significant impact on me was the comparison of the situation in St. Louis with that in Philadelphia at the time of the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918. And Philadelphia proceeded with some sort of war bonds parade or something, and hundreds of thousands of people gathered in the streets of Philadelphia for that parade. And St. Louis, as soon as there was a hint of what was going on, they closed the schools, they closed the playgrounds, they closed the parks, they closed places where people gathered, and it had a significant impact. The rate of death in St. Louis was less than half of the rate of death in Philadelphia. Seeing that now, I mean, I just read an article earlier this evening from the New Yorker about in the situation in Seattle and New York, and just how 1 week's delay has made such a tremendous difference. And of course, I didn't know that part until this evening, but having read that article, it became obvious to me that we could not, in good conscience, proceed with planning the convention. And of course, now we would, with the travel ban to Hawaii and 14-day quarantine, but we made that decision before that was obvious. But it really was obvious. And so from Friday afternoon when I met with staff till Monday afternoon when I met with staff, I changed from full speed ahead to we've got to cancel the convention. And those are the way I think, you know, we now have greater knowledge. You know, we're 6 weeks down the road from that time, and we have greater experience, and I think we'll be able to recognize these situations earlier. And that's why the board has taken the position not to have in-person board meetings and committee meetings through, you know, for the next, 8 months. And I think Rotary will err on the side of health and safety.
Do you see, as we've learned more and since March, probably, how we connect online with each other with our virtual meetings, do you see a component of Rotary International Conventions having a virtual component that, people who aren't able to attend in person might be able to see from home?
Yes. And of course, that was actually our plan for the Honolulu Convention. I was, I don't want to say adamant, but I was very strong that we were going to have live stream available for any Rotarian anywhere in the world at no charge to see general sessions and certain breakout sessions. And in fact, we are now planning a virtual convention. There will be a virtual convention in June. And on Friday, May 1st, there will be the announcement of the dates and the format. I'd love to tell you all now, but our chief communications officer would have my hide if I made the announcement early. But it will be at least announced on riconvention.org on Friday, May the 1st, and we will have a virtual convention. And yes, there's going to be a component of, well, there should have been before now. And, you know, we were prepared to spend $250,000 for the platform to have live streaming, even though we recognized, you know, we'd probably get a few thousand people at best, but we have to start someplace. And it's a law, you know, you spend money at the beginning to make it attractive going forward. And now, I mean, weren't we prescient? I mean, it's almost like me coming up with the theme, Rotary Connects the World. We were focusing on the live stream, and now we're going to put it into play for the only convention we're going to have. And so hopefully it will bring together tens of thousands of Rotarians across the globe. And the main problem is, what time do you broadcast that event? For a board meeting, the golden time is 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific time, 8 to 10 Central time. That means that if you run it for 2 hours from 8 to 10 Central time, Jarita Solari is starting at 6 a.m. for the board meeting, and Kyun Kim in Korea and Akira Miki in Japan are starting at 10 p.m. and running till midnight, and nobody has to be on the meeting between midnight and 6 a.m. I call it the golden hour, or the golden 2 hours. Now, if you're in New Zealand, that messes it up altogether, or Hawaii. But we don't have anybody in those two places right now.
We're really appreciate you being with us tonight. You've spent here an hour with us tonight, and we want you to also to know, I saw you posted on, I know I've got to get my wife to cut my hair here. I understand that your wife trimmed your hair for you the other day.
She did a week ago Saturday, and in fact, we decided she didn't do enough, and just a couple hours earlier this evening, she worked at it again, but we didn't take photos this time. but we were out on, but we do it out on the front porch so that we don't make a mess in the house. And so we were out on the front porch at about 7 o'clock this evening. You know, of course, we're 2 hours later, getting my hair trimmed again, and it looks much better.
Hey, Mark, this is Derek Moore. I have a question for you. I was in Kolkata the same time you were honoring the 100th anniversary of the Rotary Club in India, or in Kolkata. And it amazes me, with the growth of Rotary and the emphasis on growth, how the people in India and the people in Africa have found the success in making Rotary grow. What are we missing?
You know, I think part of it is we have a lot to learn, but part of it is the penetration. You know, India and Africa are growing now when they didn't grow back in the heyday when Rotary was growing in North America and Europe, South America. And so part of it is Rotary is not as mature. Now, I don't mean as opposed to juvenile. Rotary is not as mature, and they're just in an earlier stage than we are. But one thing that we have to recognize is that we need more different Rotary clubs. You know, we have Rotary clubs in our communities that may be very successful, but they only serve a certain segment of the community. And in those communities where we have successful Rotary clubs, we need other Rotary clubs that meet in different ways, different times of the day, and maybe don't even meet in the way of we think of as a meeting. And we have got to that, I but we've got to, just like commercial enterprises segment their products to be attractive and have different products to be attractive to different groups, we need different products to be attractive to different groups.
Is there a statute that you have to have a weekly meeting? Because I know when I was in Bangladesh a few months ago, most clubs are only meeting twice a month.
All that's required, the standard club constitution says meet weekly. However, there is now a provision, since 2016, there's a provision that you can amend your club bylaws to change that in any way that you want. You are supposed to meet at least twice a month. There was the original proposal that went to the 2016 Council on Legislation did not have that twice a month provision in there. And a group of past presidents of Rotary International said, if you don't put it in there, we're going to get up and argue against this. So there is a minimum requirement of meeting twice a month. And but what's a meeting? Getting together for a service project is a meeting. I mean, you can plan your events online and meet twice a month and get, let me not use the word meet. See, that's get together twice a month for a service project and you meet the requirements. And of course, even meeting online meets the requirements.
We appreciate that. And we appreciate you being with us tonight. This has been a great discussion with you. We've got to know you more personally, and in your thoughts and beliefs from the person who's the RI president. And we appreciate you as our president this year, and certainly your theme of connecting the world. And we certainly putting that to good use now during this crisis, and we'll continue to work on things. If you come across a project that's been exciting that or something we need support out there with our eye in this COVID-19 crisis, or something you see, please send it our way. We'd love to be involved with it and support those things. It's again, it's a joy, and give our best and love to Agay. And you guys, you both stay healthy out there, and your family stay healthy during this time. And we're appreciate doing our best. All that you're doing.
So it's 9:30 here in Alabama. I got to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 7 o'clock in the morning for my wife's online virtual club meeting, because she's invited the chair of our Rotary International Executive Committee from Italy to be the speaker. And so I got to be there for him. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm meeting with another Rotary group from Pakistan or Bangladesh. I'm not sure which. Anyway, and so it goes.
Hey, Mark, I'd like to make a comment. You mentioned Melanie Rice, and one of the people online here is the person who stepped up to the plate to fulfill her year as our district governor, and that's Taco Loretta. And we welcome you, Ricardo. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Yes, thank you.
Rudy? Okay. Thank you, Mark. Okay.
Okay, so Mark, we're going to let you exit here so you can get some shut-eye.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Ready to go. We really appreciate it. And everybody else, if you would stay online, we're going to check
with
on everybody else here. And again, give our best to Gay.
Will
I'll
do.
Ring
Thanks.
My Tibetan bell for Ray or for Gay and Mark.
Thank you.
Okay, our meeting is officially adjourned, so stand by for our little social get-together.
Okay. Yes, I want to do, we didn't get a chance to run down the whole
attendance.
Check, see who's on tonight here. Yeah. And so we actually got Sis on from Alabama. Of course, Derek's on. Jack, good to see you. Barbara's on. Mary Jo is our newest of the new members. All the way from Massachusetts. So great to have you with us. We've got Connie on. She's also one of our newer members. I think she's only a week old. She's a youngster. I'm not sure. Let's see who. Ayaz on with us. Alisa, good to have you joining us. Jane, where are you from?
Cambria, California. It's Jane and Bruce Howard.
Oh, yeah. Right. They were my travel buddies back in India a couple of months ago.
Okay, cool. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
We got a couple of good. You know Jerry and Paula Porter up there?
Good friends.
They're like our best friends.
They are our best friends. They were up here in Lake Arrowhead before they moved up your way.
No, they're our best friends.
No, they're our best friends.
Oh, no, they're our best friends.
Good
stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. Philip, I can't see you, but I see your name there, so it's good to have you. Susan, where are you located?
Kingman, Arizona.
Kingman, Arizona. Great. Welcome. Julie, good to see you. Richard, great to see you tonight. Mark, good to have you on with us. Marcia, good to see you. Andrea, always great to see you. Brenda's on with us here. And Terry, Al, everything's good up in Portland, I'm sure.
Yep. Thank you, Rudy.
Francis, good to see you tonight.
Thank you.
Greg's got his comfortable chair going on there. Irene, good to see you. I know you're keeping David straight. Let's see who else we got on here. Dennis is on. Oh, Valdosta, Georgia. Nancy, how are you? Good to see you. There's David. Belinda's on. Jim, good to see you tonight. Scott, great to see you. That's my namesake over there, Rudy Coachella East. So great to see you, buddy. Arthur, great to see you tonight.
Yeah, thrilled to hear the conference will be online in June, and I want to talk to you more about that later. That's so great.
Yeah, that's great. Mike Caruso, good to see you. Fergal, I'm glad you made the trip here. Did President Mark quote you okay?
Yep.
I didn't know he edited your email, so.
Hey, Fergal. Al calling.
Hey, Al.
I appreciate Rudy's question about nuclear disarmament, et cetera. And I do think there's a in-between strategy that we could use. And, of course, the committee is talking about that. But rather than take a stand or a position, we could certainly lead a conference on the issue, a worldwide conference of some sort. So I think there are many ways we could do it without, because when I spoke to four Rotary clubs on the subject, all four, by a large majority, wanted to hear more on the topic. So,
right. Thank you, Al.
Yeah. Could be Fergal, an education thing.
Fergal? Yeah, Fergal, if you could just mention, just in 25 seconds, bring people up to date on what your role is. We've got Peggy in the club, we've got you in the club, but your association with RI.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So my role was a new role to the organization. It started about a year ago. I started in the role about a year ago. It's essentially a role that is meant to bring a cohesion to all of our peace activities and all our peace programs. Obviously, the two flagship programs of the fellowship and the area focus on peace, but also incorporating things like ICCs, our UN representative network, relationships with our partners for peace, such as Shelterbox, IEP. Well, actually, IEP is run by Rebecca Krall, but Shelterbox, Peace Corps, and MBBI, and pretty much anything else that has peace in the name of it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Fergal. And yeah. David and Brenda up in Winnipeg, anything hot on the topic of world peace from you people?
We just submitted, our district just submitted four resolutions to our annual general meeting to be held on May 26th, dealing with the issues relating to nuclear abolition. None of them specifically, but dealing with representation of the network and so forth. So we're having a virtual district meeting, so it'll be interesting to see how on May 26th our member clubs decide on the go forward for council on legislation and council on resolutions. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Thank you,
David. We've got Brian Merman's on here. Brian's about to transfer down to our club from Ojai. Not physically, just virtually here.
Yeah.
That's good. Sala, good to see you. David, we saw your... We saw Irene on here. Good to see you. Catherine, you're in Tomorrowland down under. Dominique, good to see you tonight. Vic and Natalie, Beaverton.
Oregon,
okay. Peggy, holding down the fort in Evanston. David Fishman, good to see you online with us.
Thank you, Rudy. Working with Catherine for ever since Ontario.
Great. Great. Richard, yes. Richard Hassan.
Yeah, I'm Rudy. Glad to be able to join tonight. It was very, very interesting and informative.
Yeah, I think we had a nice learning about a variety of things, including some positions that we probably didn't all know before, and I think was a nice discussion. I'm glad he was able to spend that much time with us. It was more than what he had intended on, so it was good.
I was quite surprised too. It's excellent. Thank you.
Have we covered everybody, Martin? I think so.
Scott Martin.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, there's Scott. Okay, there we go. Okay. So we didn't want to miss anybody, and we want you to come back and join us next week too. Francis, you're East Coast, and I appreciate all your messages you send to me on a regular basis.
I'm just going to jump in on one thing, if I could. I'd like, in this group, there's been evidence of real leadership on various initiatives. There are things that are good activities, and then there are things that are transformative in our communities and our world. And I think the group this group particularly is good about making that distinction. I'd like to see more of that conversation in Rotary. So we don't say, for example, that we've collected a lot of canned goods for the food pantry, which is a good thing. But rather, we took leadership on food security in a given community. So we took the broader picture along with the other activities. So I'd like for us to, as we go forward, to kind of emphasize that in any of the reports and draw that out. I think the comment about the whole continent of Africa misses the point that neither women nor people of color, who comprised about 90% of the population, were permitted until recently to be in Rotary. And they have jumped on board with leadership, with significant financial contributions, with managing their own projects. They are not the Western world. They are viable, energetic, unbelievable activity. And I want us to be inclusive and respectful, and I see your, I'm going to stop. So that's my pitch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Derek, your comments, Francis.
Derek, just one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or your ideas.
Go ahead.
Who is
Francis?
Derek.
I did
call earlier because I wanted the group to know that quite a large group here and people from all over the world have connected with them in a memory move for Jerry Levin, my husband, who recently died 2 weeks ago. We were concentrated on school kids. And I did my doctorate from kindergarten through university. And we worked for several years on an agenda on peacemaking that really works. And I have many, many exciting reactions from students and teachers that I really like to share with you all. And I called earlier and asked if I could have a minute to do that. I guess you'll have to, if you are interested, come either through Derek or Rudy, but it's very valuable and it works. And the kids are asking important questions. Everybody wants peace. It's the how-to where we're in trouble. And that material came from Columbia University. And I was asked to speak at graduation. It works. And I really want to share you and show you what the kids are capable of taking in and doing, okay? Please get in touch with Sis Levin through Rotary Online.
Thank you, Dr. Sis, and we honor Jerry for his work and the hardships you've gone through. So we thank you for your presentation tonight. Thank
Jerry you. Died, and this great outpouring of that fact from all over the world is also on file here because he did talk all over the world.
Thank you, sis.
Several thousand talks.
Okay. All right. Anything else that we need to enlighten the world with after sis is spoken? We always have an open ear for people. Rudy's putting his mask on. I guess that's it. And his service is over. Okay. Anyone else for a 30-second message that they want to share with the world? With the virus that we're suffering, cabin fever, suffering loneliness.
Julie has her hand up.
Right. Julie, go ahead. Midwest Gal.
Hi, 30 seconds. I was thinking that we could have a virtual 10K in our backyards, everybody walking 1K each day, donating $20 to do it, signing in on Facebook and then donating the money to the foundation or to polio or to COVID relief. And I got this idea because an exchange student who was in our house about 40 years ago is doing it in her backyard in South Africa. They get pedometers, or they use their phone and they measure their steps. It's 1,300 steps a day. So you could do it in your living room if you wanted. And then, I don't know, it's a way to get outside. It's a way to do something every day for 10 days and take pictures wearing your Rotary stuff and maybe raise a little tiny bit of money for Rotary.
Thank you very much, Julie.
And okay. Can I jump in with just supporting Barbara's idea about the UN Secretary General calling for a global ceasefire? I think that we really need to all get behind that and work together as a club. That's our issue. And here's the Secretary General calling for it.
Well,
we need to find a way to collaborate and really help that working.
We have our United Nations full-time member, Dennis Wong, who's spending more time than anybody at the United Nations. Good going, Dennis.
Yes.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, wear your mask and stay distance.
Yeah, all right.
And maybe we could even talk about it more next week about how we could magnify that issue.
Okay, thank you. Speaking of that, Rudy, our schedule for next week. Rudy?
go on to our website.
Yep, okay. All right.
And you'll see all of the speakers for May lined up. We have an exciting group lined up for May, and we've already got started on June. So look forward to having everybody back with us. Good showing tonight. We had up to 60 people at one time online with us here. So
that's
good time. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Okay. Good job, Rudy. I just wanted to let you know that the San Bernardino Club has had Red Cross speak to us. They are represented from the Cali Call on C-19. Today we had Goodwill, and we had an enrolled agent talk to us about the small business program. So those are some ideas that I just wanted to share with the group.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Good night, all.
Good night.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Night.